Thank you, Colin, and thank you, Jenny, for reading that long story. But actually, what we're looking at today is not a story, it's an account. It's an account of Jesus' life and his interaction with the woman at the well. So I'm going to flick through the slides, and some bits are highlighted in different colours because they're the points I want to pick out today. So let's just start. Okay, so I just want to look at this first part of the passage where it says to get there, he had to pass through Samaria. Now we're talking about Jesus, the Son of God, God himself, had to pass through Samaria. And actually, the original language, and I've chosen the Message Bible because it reads more in today's language, and it distills down this passage, which is quite long. So he had to come for this encounter. It was ordained, it was meant to happen, it wasn't an accident. Most Jews who were traveling from where Jesus had come from to where he was going, we're not getting into that story, would have gone round, would have followed a normal path, and would not have gone through this place. So there we've got Jesus. It's all planned, it's all ordained. We're told that Jesus was worn out by the trip. Jesus, God, was worn out by the trip. He'd been walking for a couple of days through the desert with his disciples, and yet we know from other parts of the Bible, Jesus was more than capable of just literally teleporting himself to the right place, because we're told that similar things have happened in the Bible with disciples like Philip and the Ethiopian prince. So he chose to walk, and he was worn out, a human feeling. And we can all get worn out. We can get worn out as Christians. We can get worn out by our spiritual, emotional states. Jesus understood that. But also, he understands that people out there in the world get very worn out by their lives. We're told that a woman, a Samaritan, came to draw water. And Jesus said, would you give me a drink? Because he was on his own. His disciples had gone off to get a meal deal from somewhere. The Samaritan woman was taken back and said, how come you, a Jew, and he was a teacher, an obvious rabbi, are asking me, a Samaritan woman, for a drink? It says in this scripture, in those Jews in those days wouldn't be caught dead talking to a Samaritan. But there's more than that. She's a woman. A Samaritan woman was considered to be someone that a Jew should not come into contact with. So they shouldn't talk to Samaritans, and that was based on race. It was a racist situation that they did not get unclean by going near Samaritans, because they were mixed breed. There is some Jewish, believed to be some Jewish genetics in there. But basically, they had bred with other communities. And so we have the Samaritans. But a Samaritan woman, from the day she was born, was considered to be a woman so unclean, in the same way as any Jewish woman who was at that time of the month could not, because you couldn't come into contact with them, speak to them, because you would be unclean and unable to worship without going through quite a hefty ritual of cleansing. But Samaritan women were considered to be in this state from the day they were born. And so here we have Jesus, who's deliberately gone to this well and has asked the Samaritan woman for a drink. And he says, but if you knew God and who I am, you'd be asking me for a drink and I'd give fresh living water. And he goes on to say that the water he would give you would mean you would never thirst again. Now, in the world, and even in our own lives, we could try to fill ourselves with things that aren't of God. And I know, as a non-Christian, I've been a Christian for 15 years now, I was looking for things in life to fill me. I thought having a family would complete me, and it did in a way. I strive to be the best at my job, competing against others, thinking making a name for myself would be the thing that I wanted most. But I was never satisfied. And there are people in the world who are not satisfied. Particularly now we've been through and are still in a pandemic, or at least we know we've got this coronavirus from now on. And there are people out there that have realized their jobs were not secure, their health was not secure. There are people who considered, well, I'm a healthy, fit young person. If I get it, I'll be fine. And now they've got this long COVID. But whatever it is, in the world, people are trying to find that thing that completes them, that connection, whether it's through bad relationships, striving for money. But at the end of the day, that all goes away in a box when we go in ours. So Jesus is talking about something more. And so the woman recognizes this and says, give me this. I want this. I need this. I never want to come back to this well again. And this is where the story opens up, because why was she there at noon? Why was she there in the middle of the day? Heat bursting down, no one else around. She came there so she didn't have to face anyone. She came there because she was full of shame. The other women that would be gathering water would be gossiping about her, would be turning their backs on her because they knew something about her. And so this is the first drop the mic moment in this recollection of Jesus' life. Jesus says, go, call your husband and then come back. I'm just imagining a heart sinking and a boom of, how does he know? And she says, I have no husband. And Jesus very respectfully, and we should notice that, spoke very respectfully to this lady by saying, you're telling the truth, you haven't, because I know. You've already had five husbands, and the one you're with now, you're just living with. And so at that point, Jesus brought up her sin. But he'd still offered her to drink the water. He says, I know who you are. I know the things you've done. I know why you're here at noon. And he needed her, like he needs us, to recognize the wrongs in our life, the things we've gotten wrong. But then the story goes on. And he speaks about a time when the Samaritans will worship the Father, not on the mountain where they were, or in Jerusalem, where the Jews said it was the only place to worship. Tells her that basically she doesn't know what she's really doing. But the Jewish worship in the clear light of day, it says God's way of salvation is made available through the Jews. Salvation comes from the Jews because he's a Jew, because he's relaying to her what you guys are worshiping God and recognizing it was the same God. But this is the time is coming, and in fact, it's here now. When what you are called will not matter, and where you go will not to worship will not matter. So it doesn't matter whether you're here worshiping in a URC, a Methodist, a Baptist. It doesn't matter. The point here is that Jesus wants us to worship God as ourselves, bring our whole selves, bring our true selves to God. Without fear, but to, it says in this passage, it's who you are and the way you live that count before God. Your worship must engage your spirit in the pursuit of truth. That's taking our whole self to God and saying, I know that I'm this, I've done this, that I'm struggling with this. And that's okay, because God wants you to bring that to him as you worship him. Because this is the kind of people that he's looking for, who are simply honest. Honest about themselves. That we must worship him out of our very being. Everything. Not kind of put that stuff in a box and I'll take that back out with me from church, take it home, because while I'm here, that's a bit unclean. I don't want you to see that, God, and I can't raise my hands if I'm holding that box. But actually, it gives us the strength to hold the box that's full of all the things we don't want anyone else to know about. Imagine if our life story was up there, if we were the woman at the well, if we were the person that Jesus really shouldn't encounter or speak to. And I think we've got something to learn, the bit that inspires me. Not only that it reminds me of my salvation, it reminds me of how God has illuminated my life, drawn me to my knees. I've asked forgiveness and I've received it. But it also tells me that we are to go out of our way to meet Samaritan women. A popular Jewish prayer starts with, thank you, God, that I am neither a dog nor a woman. They really were the lowest of the low. So think about what you think is the lowest of the low in society today. The kind of people that you don't think, because of their lifestyles, because of what they've done, deserve to know Jesus. And then look at this passage and see that Jesus wants to meet with everyone. But he wants them to be honest before him. And it's for him to judge and not us. We're coming up to the second drop the mic, boom, moment. Because this woman knew that a Messiah was coming. And I like what it says here in the Message Bible. Then we will get the whole story. And Jesus responds, I am he. Wow. A Samaritan woman stood before the Son of God, stood before the Messiah, the one who would come, who would die on a cross and be resurrected so that death was beaten, so that all sin, her sin, my sin, your sin out there in Facebook land, would be thrown as far as the east is from the west and forgotten and forgiven. We're told then his disciples came back and they were shocked. Of course they would be, because all of the things I've just told you, he should not have been talking to a woman, let alone a Samaritan. So they couldn't believe he was talking to that kind of woman, and they didn't even know what a sinner she was. No one said anything at the time. But Jesus would have saw it on their face, as would everyone else. And so did the woman. So she took the hint and left. And it says in her confusion, she left her water pot. She was told by not just a prophet, but the Messiah himself, all about what she'd done. And her response was to just leave where she'd met him, the place that she'd come to, and go back to her people, who she told, come and see the man who knew all about the things I did, who knows me inside and out. Do you think this could be the Messiah? And they went to see for themselves. This is how we take our witness. We take our witness, and we tell other people. And And we find it hard, I know, to share our stories and witness about God. But this woman found not just the meaning to life, but the solution for death. This is in our pockets, those of you who believe, who belong to Jesus, who follow him, however good or not so good in your opinion. Like Colin said, he came today feeling he wasn't worthy of leading this service. But God thinks he is, because that's why he's here. We've just been through a pandemic. If you found something that would destroy coronavirus once and for all, so no one had to fear death from this awful virus, would you keep it in your back pocket? No, you wouldn't. You try and save as many people as you can. And that's what the gospel's all about, saving people for Jesus. As we're told at the end of this story, many of the Samaritans committed themselves because of the woman's witness. There are people out there who are dying to hear your story, to hear how the grace of God has touched your lives. You don't have to go and preach on street corners. You don't always have to say anything. You can just do it from Jesus' love. And you pray the Holy Spirit is with you, that the Holy Spirit would commit these people in their hearts, that they do need Jesus because of who they are. We can't just be talking about the grace of God, because I don't know about you, but I know many people where I've had the wrong conversation about Jesus, and they've said, but I don't need God. You know, and I talk about his love and the grace. And we really need to do the whole gospel. We need to talk about the place we have to come from to be released to that place of life. Life in this world and life in the next. And of course, they came to see Jesus. So when people want to know and see this Jesus, we get to show them. That's what discipleship is. We get to sit with the Bible with people through fellowship studies, through encouraging them to come to church or watch online. That's the way that people will come to know Jesus through us. So yeah, I'm very inspired by this account of Jesus' life, because he spoke to a woman and it was the first time he revealed who he truly was. And it's the longest conversation Jesus had with anyone that's recorded in any of the Gospels. Jesus is looking for the lost. He's looking for those who seem so far on the peripheries, who've been forgotten. Some of them we turn a blind eye to because of the difficulties we see in them being accepted amongst a Christian community. Well, Jesus accepts all. He died for all. If I can ask the band to come up while I just finish off. This is my story of how I came to know Jesus, and probably many of yours. Who else is out there at the well, starving and dying, that needs to know what Jesus can offer? Despite who they are, what they've done, and what their choices are. We need to judge less and love more. And then we need to introduce people to Jesus, because when they find Jesus, he will move them on at his pace, with his love, with his grace, with his power. Let us pray. Precious Heavenly Father, I just thank you that you did this, that you went out of your way to go somewhere you shouldn't, to meet someone you shouldn't, to speak with someone you shouldn't, but you illuminated their lives as to who you were. We don't know what happened next. We don't know if she changed her lifestyle, but we do know that she wanted you, Jesus. So may we be a people that show the need of Jesus in other people's lives. May we lead them. Lord, give us opportunities this week and ongoing to share what Jesus has done for us, just like this Samaritan woman. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.